Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Roadmap to Hadrons. So hadrons are the fundamental particles. You might know them as neutrons and protons. That's a certain class. They're basically any sort of matter which is made out of quarks and or quarks. And hadron means thick. So they're sort of thickness and massiveness, and they feel, all hadrons feel the strong nuclear force. So essentially the fundamental rule is that a single quark can't exist by itself. It can only exist if it is a white, combination of white. So it can be a combination of red, blue, green, or that's the end of it. It's got to be red, blue, green. Or it can achieve whiteness by having red anti-red, green anti-green, and blue anti-blue. So there's certain options. So mesons have two quarks, which are the anti-quark things. They're sort of lighter, short-lived ones, because they've got a little bit of antimatter in them, amazingly. But not all antimatter destroys itself. It's got to be it's got to meet a anti-version of itself. So a positron will not annihilate a proton or something like that. It can only annihilate an electron. Only then does it have sufficient mass to completely dissolve itself. So that's a small thing about antimatter. All antimatter doesn't destroy other antimatter, or matter. Antimatter only destroys a direct copy of itself. So you can have these mesons, which is a sort of a mix between matter and antimatter. And in some cases, mesons, which are made out of the same particle, matter and antimatter, should decompose. It is an exact copy of itself. It doesn't have an antimatter twin. It's actually 50% matter and 50% antimatter. That's mesons. But on the other side, where you have the three quarks, you've got a baryon, which means a heavy thing. Baryon means three quarks, and it's got to be red, green, blue. And the reason they said that is that the quarks had all, they're sometimes made up of two identical quarks. Those two identical quarks can't be identical because they're fermions, so they've got to have another particle. And basically doing the sort of deductive maths, it's sort of like a Sudoku problem, doing the Sudoku problems, deconstructing the particle paths, you could work out. We have different things that in normal matter you only have neutrons and protons, but normal matter with a bit of energy, a bit of random energy from cosmic rays, you have three types of quarks, which is up, down and strange. And after that you have accelerators, and accelerators can produce charm quarks, which is second generation. So charm and strange are second generation. Third generation produces things by they're very, very rare, and you have to have precision. You have to precision make them. So there's the bottom or beauty quarks. So I think bottom is what we normally call it. Top or truth quarks. So top and truth quarks are the most or top quark is the most massive. And that's been made most recently, and it decays characteristically to a bottom quark, which is okay. And the bottom quarks can be made by these B factories, specially made machines which fire up electrons and positrons to collide against each other at exactly the right energy. They produce a resonance of these B-laden mesonic matter coming out of it, and that allows people to study the characteristics of the B, the bottom. Charm, similarly there. So that those last three quarks are really not found in nature, because they're not found in nature, you don't see a lot of them very strongly in your cosmic ray particle tracks. Cosmic ray particle tracks are generally made out of normal matter, which has been smashed up and produces a whole heap of strange quarks. A strange quark is, I think, a little bit heavier than I can't remember how much heavier than the neutron quark. Up and down quark. And so with this, you have an ability to have a combination of three quarks, and you can imagine three pots, down quark, an up quark, which is plus two-thirds, and a strange quark, which is, is also minus a third. Yeah, so strange and down are both minus a third, up is plus two-thirds of a charge. Now, why you have two-thirds of a charge is that if you have two ups and a down in a proton, that's two-thirds plus two-thirds minus a third, that's two plus two minus one is three, three on three is one, it's got a charge of plus one. So you have these combinations. You can have, spin allowed, you can't have three downs, you can't have three ups, and you can't have three strangers, three S's, three strange quarks. The reason for that is that they've all got, although they have, I really don't understand, I think this, their isospin projection will not allow you to get there either way. And I've got to talk about isospin. So what you really have to do is imagine a Chinese checker board that is a triangle with, it's normally a star shape, but let's imagine it's a triangle with, let's see, 4, 3, 2, 1. 2 and 1 is 4 at the top, 3 is 7, or 10 marbles all in all. That's right, 10 marbles all in all. 4 marbles at the top. Then the bottom row is, row underneath that is 3 marbles, and 2 marbles, then 1 marble. And the top row in this instance is got a strangeness of zero, quantum number. So there's a quantum number for amount of strangeness, and there's another quantum number called isospin, which is the number of ups minus the number of downs divided by two. So if you have, is that right? An isospin. I'm just trying to work out whether that's right. So that's an isospin. that's right. So that's so a proton will have is two ups and one down. That's 2 minus 1 divided by 2, that's a half. So it's a half isospin. Now, on that top row, you have four possibilities. You can have three ups and no downs, and that's not allowed. And then the next one, initially, you can, for all these little buckets of things, you can actually excite them up to a certain spin level. So a proton is like an atom in that it can have an excited state. It's pretty amazing stuff. It's got it's not a fundamental proton, it's not a fundamental particle, therefore the fundamental particles can be arranged in an inconvenient way and have an excited state. Now, even though they've got the same quarks, they have a different mass because they have a different energy holding them together, which requires a different amount of gluon, so they have a different mass calculation, so you can actually calculate its mass. So at that top row, we have four potential sites. Two of them, the three ups and three downs, are not allowable. And on that site, we traditionally call the proton P plus for a plus charge, and N for a neutron zero. And normally, if we were sticking to conventions, we'd call them deltas. A capital D for delta. For that first row is delta, with no strangers. They're all deltas. And so a delta plus would be a proton, a delta naught would be a neutron. And that's it. The row underneath that has one strange particle in it. So you can have two strangers and an up, and that will give you two strange and two ups and a strange. That will give you a plus charge and a isospin of half again. How does that work? Of 1 plus 1 divided by 2, an isospin of 1. So it'll be further along the x-axis, down 1 unit. And then you can have a strange up, down. And these are all sigma. So that's a sigma plus, a sigma naught, will be a strange up, down. And that will be zero charge and strangeness of 1. So that will be between the proton and the neutron. And then further off, you can have a single strange and two downs. And so that's minus two divided by 2 is minus 1. So that's got an isospin of minus 1. So if you can imagine, you've got the four marbles at the top, then interspaced in between that, you've got three equally spaced marbles, and that there's called sigma. Then the next one beneath that is two strangers and an up. Two strangers and an up will be neutral, so that will be psi naught, or two strangers and a down will be minus one, because that's actually three minus one charge. You get a psi. Now, the psi symbol, if you don't know it in Greek, is sort of like a square bracket turned around with a dash in it. So it's, you draw a dash and you put a square bracket on the top and a square bracket on the bottom. It's a capital psi. And then, so essentially, if you can imagine the hadrons, the first order, unexcited, spin unexcited, isospins, excited hadrons form a group of, let's work this out, seven possibilities, two delta, three sigma, and two psi. Now, when you go up a level of excitation, you can have an excited proton. So it's got the same stuff as a proton. It's more massive than a proton because there's more energy stored in it. At this stage, most of the proton is energy stored glutons in gluons. That's your first row there is four chlorus, four deltas. So you start off with minus delta, delta naught, delta plus, and delta double plus. Delta double plus has three strangers, ups in it, correction, three ups. None of the deltas have any strange in it. And this is an excited proton. Then underneath this, there's a level up of spin excitation. So in your z-axis, you can build it up and have an x-axis of spin excitation. You have your sigmas. Your sigmas have one strange in it. That sort of makes sense, S sigma. And these are, again, sigma plus, sigma naught, and sigma minus. And underneath that, you have your psi naught and psi minus, and then you have your something called Omega. It's only one Omega, which has got three S's, three strangers in it, three minuses. It's Omega minus to go through. So what you have here is that you have your x-axis is your Isis spin. Your x-axis can go it's half integers. Isis spin is half integer because with no strangeness, or integer with one or odd number of strange in it. That's because if you've got an even number of quarks left over, an even number of up and down quarks, or no quarks, an even number is no quarks, or two, that leads you to working out an integer Isis spin. So your x-axis is Isis spin. Your y-axis is strangeness. So going downwards, you increase your strangeness. And then you have ISO in that space. You have ISO charge points. So in, I don't know, it would be 60. I suppose it would be 60 degree contours going out. The furthest one, which goes through an ISO spin of what is it? Three ups to an ISO spin of 2/3 would be the delta 2+. And then it goes cutting through the Isis spin of one is going through the Isis spin of on the axis on the y, the z axis, the Isis spin of half, it'll go a single charge, so that's a proton. And a proton, and continuing down to an Isis spin of one is a sigma plus. Then you've got the neutron, which goes through the sigma zero, and the psi zero, zero charge going angle, and then it goes across. So you've got Isis spin x in the x direction, strangeness in the y direction, and then you've got your then you've got contours of charge equicharge isocharges going down the q at a slope going down where it all adds up. So you can look at this and quickly get your mind around how much strange, how much Isis spin is. And I suppose the important thing to know is that the reason people build accelerators is that these subparticles have structure, and you can pick out the structure by working with it. So I hope that tries to get it through. I'm trying to describe it a little bit better. The interesting thing is that the end of the day, the equations have a symmetry, and then the equations have a symmetry, and that directs your thought to interpret the world. So from the equations, you can interpret it. And if the equations have an underlying symmetry, you can only say, you can write down these laws and say that this is, and if it wasn't more, if it was different, it would be a violation of some symmetry. And of course, that ultimately means that nature has some symmetry, and it may well be that we may be incapable of imagining it, but it would mean ultimately, at the end of the day, if I'm left with a whole of space, a whole of energy coming out of it in terms of light, if I rewind that, I can pull my light back in and crimple up my space, and so that I can create mass with my light, and so that's interesting. It means that the space itself, the way that it's folded, must eventually have those symmetries, but it doesn't mean that it will have those symmetries, but in a way sort of halfway between my abstract imagination and the concrete. There is a sort of a halfway thing. There's some sort of topology of bending of space that this all comes out. This is you've got to have a topology of space to bend it such it can only loop in a particular way. The manifold has to loop over itself in a particular way and knot itself in a way to get these integer isospins and strangeness, and therefore the symmetries have to get through. So that's I hope a little bit of an interesting way of trying to describe what's going on. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.